It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are in the studio with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, last week we talked about the North Carolina elective share, and we'd like to talk about that again today. It's a little bit of a difficult concept for lawyers as well as, of course, our listeners to completely understand. But basically, Ben, in the state of North Carolina, you cannot be assured that you can exclude your spouse under a last will and testament or other testamentary plan, even a trust. Your spouse has a right to an elective share in our state. And no matter what the circumstances might be, the bottom line is that this right is alive and well, and the spouse can make this election. The election is to be made 6 months after the date of death, and the elective share is, in fact, a percentage of the estate, if you will, of the decedent, based on the number of years of marriage. We generally went through this some last week.
Right.
If you've only been married for a year or two, it's going to be less of a percentage than if you're married for 20 years.
Right.
Okay? But you do have this percentage that is your right as a spouse in the estate of your deceased spouse, and it is a very real thing that we lawyers are dealing with. Now, that is the essence of this in a nutshell. And then, of course, like always here on the program and like always in the office and in the law, there are some exceptions. And some of the exceptions, which are very few, is that this is an area of the law where a prenuptial agreement will extinguish this right to an elective share. This is probably one of the most leading advantages of folks who are entering into second and third marriages with children from prior marriages to obtain a prenuptial agreement. A prenuptial agreement is so misunderstood, and it does not mean that you cannot leave some of your estate to your spouse. You can leave them the home that the two of you are building together. You can leave them a life estate. You can leave them $100,000, $300,000, whatever you choose to. You can leave them a life insurance policy. But with the prenup, you have the right to elect what you are going to leave your spouse. You are in control and not the state of North Carolina. The state of North Carolina is control, as we just mentioned, without the prenup because there is this right to an elective share. And it therefore dictates what the surviving spouse is going to get. It also, of course, dictates the right to the spouse being the administrator of the estate if there is no, if there is no will, and other rights of the spouse. So a prenup comes in and alters those standings, alters the law. I hope I'm making sense here,
Ben. Yeah, absolutely. And
there are lots of them. There are lots of rights of the spouse. For sure, the most significant one is this elective share, but there are other rights of the spouse. And a well-drafted prenuptial agreement is going to shift the sand, if you will, so that the parties are able to plan for the future and even for their deaths in the way in which they elect to plan it. When a client comes in and says, Wes, Cecil, I want to exclude my spouse. We've been together now for 15 years. We've discussed this. We got married knowing that our assets were separate and distinct. We've kind of kept it that way. We have children from prior marriages, and we really, I really don't want to leave anything to Judy, and Judy doesn't want to leave anything to me, Jim, and this is just the way it is. Well, you know, that is a problem for Wes and myself.
Right.
Because we then have to explain to that client that with the elective share statute in North Carolina, and with it being as viable as it is, that you are not going to be able to exclude your spouse.
And oftentimes, as you pointed out, you get into maybe an elderly situation. It may not be the spouse that's right. surviving that says this. It may be their power of attorney.
Right. No question about that, Ben. And, you know, I would add to this that this is usually not too much of an issue in the typical husband, wife, two kid, married for 50 right. year type situation right. because usually the husband leaves everything to the wife, everything to the husband, then down to the kids. That's the usual situation. But when you're in a situation where there's a second marriage, and especially when there's kids from a previous marriage, and like you just said, mm-hmm. if the surviving spouse happens to, you know, be elderly and not have capacity, and then they've named one of their children as mm-hmm. the power of attorney, then the power of attorney would have the right to make that elective
share. And
perhaps
a responsibility to do it.
That's right. And maybe a responsibility. And if there's a guardian, the guardian may very well mm-hmm. have the responsibility. You know, one thing that that Cecil said a moment ago that I want to echo and elaborate on a little bit is he said well-drafted prenup can mm-hmm. address this. Now, you would think the run-of-the-mill prenup that you could get anywhere would address this issue, elective share,
right. yeah.
certainly.
Sounds like it's awfully important.
They don't always do that. yeah. I had a case in particular, second marriage, kids from a previous marriage, both husband and wife, pretty wealthy. Wife owned almost all of a very successful business.
Mm-hmm.
And in speaking with the wife was my client, you know, I asked her about the issue, talked about the elective share. She said, oh, I've got a prenup. It's okay. You know, I know something about that. I know we talked about that before. Well, let me take a look at that prenup. So, of course, the prenup was done 18 years ago or something like that because the marriage was more than 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings it by and I take a look at it. And there is absolutely nothing in this prenuptial agreement about spousal rights upon death.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what if we get divorced.
Right.
So in that particular situation, you know, our options were really two, because she had this incredibly successful business and held almost all the stock in that business, and she wanted that business to stay in her family, not mm-hmm. to potentially end up in – you
right.
know, half of it over, because, you know, in the event that she died
mm-hmm.
and then her surviving spouse made an elective share against her estate, that could force her children to have to come up with the 50% of the value of that business,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even if they couldn't do that, liquidate the business.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty dramatic and drastic result by, you know, thinking you have this prenup, but you don't. Well, luckily in this situation, husband and wife got along well since mm-hmm. they both had pretty significant assets. They agreed that they really didn't want either side to make an elective share.
Mm-hmm.
So, because obviously we don't know who's going to die first.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a postnuptial agreement addressing all these issues, and everything was fine with regard to that. So
and that will hold.
That will hold. Absolutely. Yeah. It was done right. Obviously, the husband has his own attorney.
Mm-hmm.
My client has me as her attorney.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain rules you have to go through in doing these prenups and postnups. You can't represent both sides. There
right.
has to be a full disclosure of assets, you know, some of these things. So we obviously need to make sure we did it right. So, you know, that is a scenario that can present itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess probably the takeaway from that for listeners would be that you might want to go, if you have a prenup and this is a situation you might be concerned about,
have it reviewed
or at least pull it out
yeah.
and see if it talks about or is written about in it spousal rights upon death,
mm-hmm.
estate rights, rights to be executor, rights for elective share, rights for dower, curtsy. It could be some of these old words in there.
Yeah.
These type of death type rights, if there's a waiver of those. If the postnup or prenup is devoid of that kind of language, then certainly you might want to have an attorney take a look at it and then look at, you know, what the planning techniques would be under that scenario.
Okay. We'll take a short break. We'll come back with more here on Let's Talk Legal. Your questions are always welcome, and you can call in right now if you like.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins every Tuesday morning. You can find them online at harvellandcollins.com or call for your appointment at 726-9050. We're talking about the elective share and spousal rights.
We are. Now, Ben, let's spend the rest of the program talking about the most typical fix that we have for this issue is to discuss with the clients the fact that, first of all, that this elective share exists, but that the spouse now is able to place in their estate planning documents provisions that say that, yes, I understand my spouse has the right to this elective share, and I direct that my executor calculate this amount, Ben, because it's ever-changing, as we've discussed, based on the number of years of marriage. And then place this amount of resource in a trust known as the elective share trust, if you will, for the benefit of the surviving spouse. And they then get the income off of these resources for their life, similar to somewhat like a life estate. But upon their death, the second to die, the assets revert back to the children of the first to die. So this is a well-intentioned plan. It's recognized in the statute, particularly, that it exists, that there is the right to place the elective share amount in trust, and that that will satisfy the elective share. We do have to have what's known in the law as a disinterested trustee, and this just simply means a trustee that is not an ultimate beneficiary. So, for instance, the son or daughter of the decedent who is eventually going to inherit the trust when their step-parent dies cannot be a trustee. It would need to be a brother, a sister, a niece, a nephew.
Who's not going to benefit.
Friend, neighbor, someone that is trusted, but not necessarily an ultimate beneficiary. This works well. We have quite a few of these that are in our office at this point, and they seem to be working well. You know, it's not unusual at all, particularly people who have been married for 10 or 15 years or longer. They do want to provide for their spouse.
They
do want there to most of them do. And so this is the way to provide for your spouse, and in a very significant way, I might add, but to have the confidence of knowing that eventually, when we both are no longer living, the assets revert back to the family from which they came.
Now, if the asset is placed or the elective share amount calculated is placed into a trust, and the surviving spouse earns the income off that trust, does that principal remain the same? Does the principal stay intact?
The principal more or less stays intact,
Okay.
There can be principal distributions if there's a need. But, you know, this disinterested trustee.
But that's written in the trust.
That's right. And this disinterested trustee is, you know, going to have authority over that. But, you know, what we see here in many cases, you know, we're talking about a marriage of 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then someone loses their spouse, they get remarried, that type of things. And a lot of times, you know, the assets that are accumulated are not just accumulated by either the husband or the wife. They're assets that are accumulated by the hard work of usually a husband and a wife in, you know, in 2017. As things are changing, we have to say as hard work of the spouses, but nevertheless. So, you know, obviously, usually there's an intent for maybe for the surviving second spouse to be taken care of, but that – asset that's been accumulated over 30, 40, 50 years of marriage to eventually go down to the kids of mm-hmm. that actual marriage.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes sense here, but it also makes sense that the legislature in the state of North Carolina would want the surviving spouse to be taken care of as well and not be disinherited. So we've got a push and a pull here with regard to these two things. So you have to plan in order to make sure what you want to happen actually happens. Because if you fail to plan, then you know, you plan to fail.
Right. So I mean, the thought of the legislature is that in a fit of pique, someone is not just writing somebody out of the will.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's right.
Not just disinheriting them.
That's
in
right.
some fashion or another.
It's, you know, one of these many, many spousal rights that are so very powerful. And we've talked about them on the program. We've talked about, you know, tenants by entirety property. You know, we've talked about the rights that judgments against one spouse don't affect tenants by entirety property. We've mm-hmm. talked about
Years allowance.
We talked about that's a $30,000 immediate, you know, payment out to, you know, the surviving spouse, which, by the way, can be waived in a prenup or a postnup as well.
Mm-hmm.
All of these rights can be waived, but there's just many, many rights that just go on and on and on with regard to, you know, spousal rights relative to an estate or relative to owning real property or relative to how accounts are held. You know, obviously, you know, rights as it relates to intestate succession, which we haven't even talked about today, but that's
right.
another estate type right. So
a big one that mm-hmm. we've talked about, but it's been quite a while on the program, Ben, is the requirement of the joinder of the spouse on out conveyances.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, this is just, let me explain what I mean by those big words. I mean, there's hardly a week that goes by that someone is not selling a property, a husband or a wife,
mm-hmm.
and they call up in complete dismay over the fact that they are having to have their spouse sign the deed to sell the property.
Right, right.
And they say, but look, I owned this property before I got married. I've had this property in my, this is family property. Mm-hmm. I inherited this from my mother and father. My spouse has nothing to do with this property. She knows that.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even want to be bothered with this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
She completely affirms that she understands that this is not her property. But the closing lawyer, for some reason, is requiring her to come to the closing and sign the deed. There's a spousal right.
Right, exactly.
Yet one it's more.
A right of disclosure, really.
Right,
is what that
right.
is.
And,
it,
so,
it,
and
yeah.
if that doesn't happen, then obviously mm-hmm. no one's going to pay good money for this property
mm-hmm.
because they're not going to get good title
right.
because the spouse still has her spouse or his
now,
spousal rights.
Now, if you had a
property.
Prenup,
right.
you don't have to have the joinder of that spouse.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. Again, ways to talk about this. And if you would like to ask a question, 800-818-2255 or the local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Thanks for joining us here today. And, of course, with Let's Talk Legal, demystifying the idea of the of spousal rights and what those mean and how important they are.
Well, I think that's a great word and a great concept with regard to this topic, Ben. It's the idea of kind of demystifying and explaining these concepts because so many of our listeners just don't know that these rights even exist. And again, as we mentioned earlier, they are not such a burden, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in the quote career marriage. People have been married, you know, 30, 40, 50 years with
right.
collective children. Most of these rights at that point are more or less what we expect. But if you are in second marriages with children from prior marriages,
mm-hmm.
That's when these things become a real significant bugaboo in the families.
Right.
And, of course, as we know, we have more and more of those circumstances now.
Mm-hmm. I would think that's coupled with maybe some people who buy their will the same place that they buy their dog food online, you know. So you may have some lack of a well drafted estate there.
You know, we see that all the time because I have, you know, clients say to me, "Well, I don't understand, you know, why you're not putting me in a trust right now, because don't I want to avoid probate?"
Mm-hmm.
And asking these questions, I read this online and I understand I need to go this way with this type of planning because this is what it says. But what people don't realize is these box documents you mm-hmm. can get, or basically boxed even prenups, you know, they say state specific, but they don't deal with these state issues such as elective share. They don't keep up with the nuances of the law in North Carolina or particular states. Mm-hmm. So there's a risk with regard to that, in my opinion.
Right.
You have to look at every case, you know, based on the facts that are presented to you. You can't just say one shoe fits all sizes. It mm-hmm. doesn't work that way. So you have to be, you know, very careful with regard to that. I know we have a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, well, I mentioned during the one of the breaks about spousal allowance, and that's a different spousal right, but it does play into this, right?
Well, that's right. Well, as far as the spousal allowance goes, I mean, currently that's a $30,000 amount that is that the surviving spouse is entitled to, and that's a different right. But again, that would come out of the elective share,
in the umbrella.
So you don't get that in addition to mm-hmm. the elective share.
That right, Ben, is usually applicable in cases where the law is supporting a spouse into the first $30,000 to the exclusion of creditors.
Right.
Smaller estates, mm-hmm. smaller estates. There's a home mm-hmm. and there's a small amount of resource, relatively speaking, but there are creditors and the spouse is going to be left, if you will, penniless.
Mm-hmm.
But for this $30,000 allocation or allowance to the exclusion of the creditors in the estate.
Again, part of the same intent of the legislature to not to leave somebody out in the cold.
Correct.
All right. Now we've kind of gotten into a different
spousal rights.
We've gotten into a little bit of a different issue there, but since we do have a couple of minutes, I do want to mention something about that. You know, we deal with situations in estates sometimes where folks start dealing with the estate and they'll say, you know, I'll handle it. It'll be fine. So on and so forth. And maybe there's those bills. Maybe there's the credit card bills or whatever. Maybe there's not much of a lot of assets, but they go ahead and cover those credit card bills or cover those medical bills or pay these assets out of the deceased assets. But in the event that they had sought right from the beginning the spousal right of mm-hmm. the $30,000, and that would have been paid off the top, even if there were no assets left, then these other bills, these debts would not have to be paid. So we see that sometimes where the cart gets put before the horse, and it's kind of hard to put the horse back in front of the cart, mm-hmm. so to speak. So understanding the nuances and how these things work and doing these things in a timely fashion is very
important.
Time
is of the essence, too.
Time is of the essence with regard to all of this, because believe me, once you write that check to the IRS or to
you're not getting it back,
or to the credit card company or to the hospital or whatever, even though maybe you didn't have to do it, you're not going to get it back.
That's right. For the right advice at the right time, call on Harvell and Collins, attorneys of law at harvellandcollins.com, 726-9050.